Hi, this is Margie Spence. Welcome to the Consume Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message on the power of the seed. For further information about the ministry of Consume Church, you can check us out at theconsumedchurch.com. Real quick, because I don't want John coming back and it all be quiet here, so we need to get turned on to greet them, right? I was in a conference a couple of weeks ago up in Colorado Springs. It was a minister's conference, and two of the ministers at different places and different times, the Lord spoke to them and said, the great awakening, the third great awakening is not coming. The Lord said, it's already here. And the Lord spoke to one of them and he said, do you know why there is a third awakening? And he said, no, Lord, I really don't. And he said, because the other two fell asleep. So the Lord is saying, wake up. Amen. And I want to share, the Lord wants you to know that you are part of this awakening. And so many times we see the great awakening and what God is doing in the end time harvest as being a time of where it's going to be stadiums that are full and auditoriums that are full and all these big, large masses of people. And then the Lord spoke to me this morning and he said, Margie, what about the one? What about the one? When we were coming back, it was 2 weeks ago, from the airport, we were getting ready to fly back, and we were coming back on a Saturday, and we got 15 minutes from the airport. We had dropped off our lease car 15 minutes before we got to the airport. It was about 12 in the afternoon. I got a text that our flight had been canceled. Well, we're depending on getting back because Sunday is going to be Pastor Appreciation Day. So we get to the airport. We're going to straighten all of this out. But when we get there, all of a sudden we realize every flight that day had been canceled with Southwest. There was not a one. You know, and my first thought is, God, you got to make this happen. And then it was that just kind of that feeling of discouragement. And I've learned, and I want you to learn, as we stood in line, I looked over at Tanya, my daughter, and I said, Tanya, God's up to something. So we could not get out until the next morning. Well, I'm going to make this shorter. A girl picked us up from the Radisson, and on our way there, we just got talking to her. She let us out. Had our bags, and she is actually assistant manager. They were shorthanded. And Tanya gave her a healthy tip, and I just want to encourage everybody, healthy tips give entrance into hearts. So Christians are not to be selfish. Amen? That's just a little side note. And then on top of that, so she got out, got our luggage out, and put it on the rack, and we were getting ready to take it up. And she said, let me take this. And I looked at her, and I said, Lisa, I said, is there anything that I can pray about for you? And she said, yes, my job. And she said, I want to take this up to your room. Well, to make a long story short, she would not let us take it. She went up. We spent 20 minutes ministering to her, and she absolutely just exploded with tears. And I'm telling you, and after later that night, there was a thank you note under the door thanking us. God ministered to her about forgiveness, about moving forward, and about her destiny. And so I would encourage you, and I say, what about the one? What about the one that we pass every day? And God is saying, I want your ears to be open and your eyes to be open to see and hear him, because, guys, You make a difference. And you'll say, well, I'm not evangelistic. You don't have to be evangelistic. We just need to love people. Amen? Okay, that's a sign, don't. Well, I haven't started yet. It's like, time out. All right, today we're going to talk about the power of the seed. I want to go back, and most of you are very familiar with Genesis, so I'm going to try to take some shortcuts here. But we know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we know from the very beginning, God began to set spiritual laws into motion. And God said, and we found out there is power in words, and words create. They can create good or they can create bad. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then God said, let there be a firmament. And he went through and he made the water. He divided the waters from the earth. He said, let there be light. There was sun, the moon, the stars. God had all the earth ready, Tom. And then he said, okay, now let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seed, and the fruit trees that yield fruit. Everybody say, according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. And so the earth brought forth grass and the herbs that yield seeds according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw, he said, this is good. He said, this is really good. I was going to show you when we were in, we dropped off the rent car when we were in Colorado at a house, and the house next door, and I turned and I looked, and there was the biggest Christmas tree I'd ever seen. This is it. That's me standing in front of it. And as I looked at the tree, here was the amazing thing. The tree was full of pine cones. And when I say pine cones, this is one off that tree. There were thousands. And so I thought, you know, you don't plant a pine cone. Where's the seed? I Googled. I Google a lot. And I Googled and I found out, and I assume with this one, I'm not sure if it's all, but with pine cones, behind every little prickly area, there are two seeds whose seed is in itself according to its kind. Now, I want to go on. And so we see that then he brought forth, verse 21, sea creatures and every living thing moves according to their kind, whose seed is in itself. Then God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. Guys, do y'all realize how important this is? I mean, we did not come from apes or monkeys. Number one, this was a really good lesson for my grandkids. The other thing we need to know is that the spiritual laws work every time. So you never have to worry about two horses begetting a rhinoceros or two giraffes begetting a monkey. The seed is in itself and it will reproduce after its kind. Apples beget apples, fruit begets fruit, according to its kind. And it is just as strong a law as the law of gravity, that what goes up has to come down. And we don't worry about that. We don't worry about it. The law of gravity is ever going to quit working, because it's not going to quit working, right? Now, here's what I want you to see. So God created all of this. He created the earth. He created vegetation. He created animals, birds, fish. God did not create Adam first and then create his needs. Now, wouldn't that have been something? All of a sudden, Adam is first. He creates the water and Adam's trading water. Or he creates vegetation and trees are popping up everywhere. This is so important. God created everything that Adam needed. Everything he needed. And then he said, oh, this is all good. Now I'll create my family. God didn't wait to see what need Adam had. He already provided the need. Are you seeing that? This is huge. The other thing, God never created another animal. He never created another tree. He never created another fish. He never created anything on the earth. Because he had already set the spiritual law whose seed is in itself and it procreates. Amen? Then we see he told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and have dominion. Now here's the part I want you to realize is that when we are in Christ, we are stepping in. God has called us, body, to rule and reign in the kingdom as kings and priests and not as paupers and orphans, and to have dominion over the creation that he has given us. And what we need to realize is that God has already prepared and keeps ready every need you'll ever have. Every need. He said, let me make sure I don't get ahead of my notes. He said, seek ye first the kingdom. And then he said, and all of these things will be added unto you. And then he said, fear not, little flock, for it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So see, we're not scrapping and clawing and begging and God, give me the kingdom. He said, the kingdom is yours. You now need to learn how to rule and reign in the kingdom. Is that good news? All right. Now we're going to get in, if you have your Bibles, to turn over to Mark 4. And we're going to talk about the parable about the sower sows the seed. So Jesus began teaching by the sea. And he said he taught them many things in parables. And the first thing he said as he began to teach was, listen, behold. Now, any time that Jesus says, listen, listen, he's got something really important to say, right? And he talked about a sower who went out to sow seed. He said, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up and was scorched, and because it had no roots, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Then other seed fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold return. Now, we've heard this, and we've heard it, and we heard it. Most everybody here knows it. But guys, I really want you to listen and put your ears on and see what the Spirit of the Lord would say to you today on this. Then he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So when all the crowd cleared out and the disciples go over and he said, Lord, and when he said have ears to hear, he's talking about, I want you to understand and I want you to comprehend. And so the disciples are going, wait a minute, because we don't understand this. So when finally the crowd left, they go over and they're going, Jesus, what are you talking about with this? And then Jesus told them, to you it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. This was interesting as I researched this. If you got the four Gospels and put them in chronological order, that day Jesus taught 13 parables. And guess what the parables were on? Seed. Seed. That's the most parables he ever taught in a day, and it was on seed. It was about the mustard seed. When planted into the ground, it was the tiniest of seeds, and then it grew up and to be a massive tree. And then he talked about someone who sowed seed, and as they sowed seed, it fell in the ground, and they slept night and day, and all of a sudden the seed came up, first the ear, then, well, anyway, got that one backwards. But the three stages of it, and they said they know not how. First the blade, then the ear, then the full kernel in the ear. And it's like they don't know how, and we don't know how it happens, but it happens. And he said, what I want you to see, the thing, now this is, and you've heard John say this, the things of God are not hidden from you, but they are hidden for you. And he said, now listen to what he said. He said, do you not understand what this means? How will it be if you don't understand this parable that you're going to understand any? That's how important this parable is. See, I never saw it that important, but I changed my mind. The reason he said that, he said, because in this parable, I'm going to show you how the kingdom of God works. And that is important. He said, because in this parable are the foundational keys that are going to unlock some things for us to begin to grow and produce. Amen? All right. So we're going to talk about... Yeah, he wasn't trying to teach them how to farm and how to grow an orchard. He's trying to teach them about the kingdom. Okay, this is important. If you have a pen, you might write it down. The word of God is to the kingdom of God as a seed is to the natural world. Did you get that? The word of God is to the kingdom of God as a seed is to this natural world. We know when the sower sows the seed, when we're talking about sowing the seed, we are talking about the seed is the word of God. Is that not right? And the word of God is an incorruptible seed. What does that mean? It doesn't die. It doesn't perish. It doesn't decay. It is everlasting. The word of God, the seed, will produce every time. Now, to me, this is really good news because I'm not trying to figure out if there's something wrong with the word. I've got to figure out if it's not producing in this area in my life, what is the issue and what's going on? So what we see, let's go. It is the seed is planted. What is the ground? The ground is our hearts, right? So we've got the seed, which is the word of God. The ground is the heart that the seed is sown in. All right, so I'm going to go over this. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. This is the only time that immediately Satan was able to come and immediately steal. Why? When they were talking about sowing seed, they weren't digging a furrow in the ground or a hole in the ground. They were broadcasting. So it's scattered. That's how seed was planted. So this one was the wayside of where people had walked. The ground had gotten hard. The word had no penetration into the ground. So there's no way it could grow. This is the ones who have no understanding. Have you ever gone and you went in, and hopefully not today, and you heard a sermon and you came out and you're going, I don't know what in the world they're talking about. It sounded really good and it sounded really theological, but they were like way over my head. Have you ever done that? I've done that. Well, you see, there was no understanding. So immediately, everybody say immediately, Satan came to steal because there was no root. It hadn't penetrated whatsoever. Last week, I got a call from my daughter, Dondi. This is really kind of funny. And she said, Mom, I've got something to ask you. She said, Remy, my 11-year-old granddaughter, they go to their youth groups and all, and so she's in a Bible study. And so she came home, and she's gotten really turned on to the Word of God. And she says, Mom, I want to read totally through the Bible. I want to start with Genesis, and I want you to read with me all the way through it. Dondi said, well, okay, Remy, we'll do that. And so they started out. They got into the garden, and they got in with Adam and Eve in the fall. And Remy looked over at Dondi, and she said, Mom, why doesn't God give Adam a second chance? Isn't he a God of second chances? And Dondi said, Mom, she said, Mom, I'm not sure even how to explain all this to her. You see, Remy had no understanding because she hadn't gotten the foundation. And so she was seeing it dimly. And I think a big part of it, as we minister and as you teach or as we approach people, we've got to realize we need to be on the level of the people, because the main thing is not giving out a bunch of information, but it's giving a teachable revelation of understanding that someone can take the word, comprehend the word, understand the word, and then be able to step over into some revelation of the word. Is this, somebody say amen. Are y'all with me? Does this make sense to you? Okay. So we said, of course we know the things of God are not hidden from you, but they're hidden for you. All right, this is something that, how many of you know John 10:10? Anybody? Satan, the thief, comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. How many have ever said that backwards? Tell him to kill, steal, and destroy. Anybody ever done that? I've done that. Okay, here is what is interesting about this verse. It says, the thief comes not except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The first thing he comes to steal is the seed. If he steals the seed, he can kill. He can't kill first and then steal. It's a matter of stealing the word from our heart, and that opens the door for him to then kill and destroy. So that's why it's so important for the word of God in our heart. So we must have understanding. Okay, the second ground. The second ground, Mark 16 and 17, it's chapter 4. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, that when they hear the word, immediately is received with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation, everybody say tribulation, and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. No, I don't think that there's any of us that don't walk through some kind of tribulation and persecution, right? You know, I was thinking about how many heard John's sermon last week on financial freedom. How good was that? Did God speak to your hearts about anything in that? You know, so many times we can take a sermon and we hear it, and there'll be just, even if there's one thing that the Lord speaks to your heart out of this, take it and do it. This is what changes us. It's not just hearing, but it's hearing and doing. And I thought about how many times we'll hear something on finances, And God will speak to us about something we need to change or something we need to tweak or something that we need to do. And about the time he's like, maybe increase your giving. I'm not telling y'all to do that, but you can. Or, you know, give more liberally in the area of tips or whatever it is. And then you go and within the next few days, the car breaks down. Or you have some kind of financial issue and all of a sudden you're thinking, you know, I can't afford to do that. What is that? Tribulation that comes to steal the word. Amen? So, you know, I even take it, and guys, just keeping your ears on, it was like when we got to the airport and our whole flight and everything, and I was wanting to get here. I said, I cannot miss this pastor's, you know, appreciation day. And immediately I felt like, okay, Satan's coming to steal this. But then you put your ears on and you're saying, okay, God, what's the counter to this? You can be up to something, and you can even turn things that you didn't create and turn them around for good, right? All right. So then we have, not only do we have tribulation, which is the cause of state of trouble or suffering, and then we have persecution, is hostility and ill treatment, especially because of race or political or religious beliefs, persistence, annoyance, or harassment. You know, I thought about persecution for the word's sake, and I'm just thinking of examples, and the one that I thought of, you know, I thought about the COVID vaccine. And this really isn't about the vaccine. It's about choices and listening to the voice of God of what he would have you do. That's all that matters. You know, this is that's what I'm saying on this. But how many times, and I know, do we make a stand and somebody feels like they're not to take it? And then persecution comes for the word's sake. And then they say, we're going to fire you if you don't. Or your family almost disowned you if you don't. And then on the other hand, maybe the Lord told you, yes, you are to take it. And then you have other friends or family who are upset and can't believe you're doing what you're doing. And persecution begins to come in. And guys, we get persecuted for a lot of things. I know when Sam and I pastored, and we had an amazing church. I mean, we really, really did. But we had several families that came in, and I dearly loved them. And when the husband started coming, when they saw a woman in the pulpit, and I taught and I pastored alongside Sam, well, guess what? They could not stand. The husbands were not into women preachers. They could not imagine that. And so immediately they pulled up their families and they left. Well, this is really hard. And yet when you know what your call is and what you're to do, you don't let that shake you or move off what God has put in your heart. When we were at the conference, I thought, you know, we're so wimpy sometimes. The things that we let get under our craw are really sometimes so trivial, and we can make them seem so big. And one of the ministers had talked with Heidi Baker just the week or two before, and they have had 100 pastors over... where is she, Matthew? Where's Matthew? Mozambique. 100 pastors that had been beheaded. And there was one, had his 4-year-old son, and they came up to him and they said, either you deny your religion, you deny Christ, or we behead him. And he said, I will not deny. And he cut off his child, the 4-year-old's head, right in front of him. And I'm sure then they probably killed him. But this is persecution. And you know what her heart cry was? God, please don't send me back to America. And I thought, our trivial things. Okay. So what we need to do. Preparation time is never wasted time. It is a time of putting down roots. Uh, The next slide is going to be an illustration of a bamboo tree. Have y'all heard the story? From the time that a bamboo tree is planted, there is nothing visible for 4 years. 4 years. And then once it begins to spring up, it grows 35 inches in a day. Now, to walk by, and it's starting to grow, and 35 inches is in a day is 1.5 inches per hour. Now, to walk by and to see that growing like that, you're going, boy, that just explodes overnight. But guys, nothing explodes and happens overnight because there is seed time and there is harvest. There's a time you plant, there's a time you water, there's a time you nurture before the time that you begin to see things begin to totally explode, right? And I know there's one, and we're going to get into this in a minute, but there is a pastor, when he came to the Lord, he's a minister that was in Georgia, and when he first came to the Lord, he spent 1 year, 1 year going over nothing in the Bible but God's love for 1 year before he ever got into another subject. I hear others that say, I studied and meditated on that scripture for 4 months before the Lord ever released it. I've heard them say even over a year before, because they wanted it to not be just a good word, but it needed to be planted and seeded in their heart, right? Right? You know, and I feel like that this is, okay, preparation time is never wasted time. Then I'm going to move on for time's sake. In Mark 18, now these are those, the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in to choke the word, and it becomes fruitless. All right, so we have the cares of the world. Guys, we carry a lot of cares. You know, and for some of us, anxiety and anxiousness is just part of life. And we just figure that's what you live with. And I know there's times when I have read Philippians 4, 6, and it says, be anxious for nothing. Anybody read that? And you're going, God, you got to be kidding me, right? I mean, honestly, be anxious for nothing. How many have been anxious? How many have a few things that you're anxious about now? And then he gives us a solution, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And then it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts. Well, you see, we're praying for the God to guard our hearts, and that peace is going to pass understanding when we're not doing the other part, right? So God is saying, I don't want you to have a care. Will you draw close enough to me that you can give those things to me and guard your heart from anxiety, anxiousness? He said, there's not a problem that he hasn't already taken care of. I walked out, and I felt like this is a word for the body. I have a little area in the back, and there's covered kind of in flowers. We've been there, it'll be a year ago this next weekend, and I saw this little flower. It was a little Gerber daisy that was planted in it, and there's all kinds of flowers springing up. And I noticed over the months, this little Gerber daisy hasn't grown at all. Sometimes the things that are choking out the word may not look like bad things, but they have finished their season in your life. And they are taking the place of maybe you shifting into a new season of what God has called you to do. So sometimes the things that we're needing to weed out that are choking what God is calling us to do may be ministry It may be, it could be anything. It could be sports. It could be, it may not look like an enemy, but if it's stealing the word, then it might be things that the Lord is, and I just felt like that that's something for you to pray into and really ask the Lord, is there something that is a new season? Is it something that now I need to let go of that in order that I can move into something better? Okay, sometimes less is better. Less rocks, less thorns, less thistles, less distractions. So the Lord is saying, maybe we need to realign and readjust, because sometimes the Lord is wanting to get us to position ourselves in order that he can position us to move forward. And yet if we don't do sometimes our part of doing that, then we can't move on the path that he's given us. Does that make sense? Amen? All right. Now, then we have the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things. And the only thing I want to say about that is this. It is so easy for us to let outside things begin to come in and take us over. Not even bad things, but it can be good things. And a lot of times, when we get comfortable, we have a tendency to kind of drop out of our commitment to the Lord. Have you ever noticed people do that? When the pressure's on, something bad happens or something catastrophic, or all of a sudden, you know, the phones start ringing and it's like everybody's drawing close to God. But then when the pressure's off, then they begin to kind of fall away. I don't think God puts pressure on you to draw you to him. I don't think he breaks legs. We've heard it all. You know, break somebody's legs so they'll slow down and listen. And I'm going, that's not my daddy. That's not my daddy. God is not a control freak. We choose. We get to choose if we want to drop away and if we want to just kind of be a Sunday morning Christian, then he allows us to do that. But how about a daddy that desires for you, because of his goodness, that you come and get up in his arms and he can just say, all that I have is yours. What do you want? You see, it is his goodness that draws us. And so when it gets into the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things, he wants to be the thing in our life. But if we choose not, and our ground gets thorns and thistles and chokes out, that's our choice. All right. I love this. These are the ones sown on good ground. When we're Mark 20, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Here is the good news. It is not up to the seed to determine if it's 30, 60, or 100. Guess who it's up to? The condition of our heart. The seed is an incorruptible seed that will produce every time. And if it is planted in good ground, and I like that because what it's talking about, it is a ground, and it says who hears the word and accepts the word. And when I think, Tom, of accepting the word, I think of so many times we think if we read 14 chapters a day, or if we listen to DVDs or CDs, or go to church and hear sermons, and these are all great things. But what we have to do, and what I want us to begin to realize that we have got to step into, is that we have got to step into a relationship with the Word. We have got to step into a meditation of the word, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, because getting the word deep in your heart to where all of this other is weeded out doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen without purpose. I think of the scriptures. We know Joshua 1:8, this law, the book of the law shall not depart out of our mouth. The scripture that I was looking at is Psalm 1:1-3. And it's blessed is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in, okay, so what is he doing here? He's telling us, I'm going to give you some heads up that's going to help you out on keeping your heart good. Okay, so what do? We live not in the counsel of the ungodly. They contaminate our hearts. Nor stands in the paths where sinners walk. He said, you know, we can communicate with sinners, but we're not to set up a camp there. Nor sits down where the scornful gather, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. And on his laws he does what? Meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree firmly planted. Everybody say firmly planted. By the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaves also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Amen. Thank you for that. So, guys, we're not praying to grow. We are praying that the word of God is planted in good ground in our hearts. Because here's the good news. It is the nature of the word to heal, to change you, and to grow you up. I can remember when I first came to the Lord, and I came hungry. I've been hungry ever since. My walk with him has really never changed. I've just have that burning zeal for him. But I always wanted to grow. I mean, I would stand on my tiptoes if it would help me grow. And I was with a lady who was a prophet. And she had a prophecy for me. And she said, Margie, I see two trees. She said, I see a tall tree and I see a little short tree. She was the tall tree because she was a seasoned prophet. And she said, you are this little short tree. And she said, you are just straining to grow. And she said, it's not going to work. She said, all you have to do is get your roots and tend to the word. And she said, you will naturally grow. You see, apple trees don't strain to have apples. They just produce fruit. It comes with it. It comes with it. So the word of God, it's the nature of the word to do everything that the word says it'll do. And we're getting a glimpse into why we're seeing it not producing in our lives, are we not? And I'm telling you, this word has got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of promises in it. And it is only words on a piece of paper when it's the word of God. But here's what we have got to do. We must take the word of God and make it a word from God in our hearts. That is the key. We've got to take the word of God. It is his promises. God, every scripture is God breathed. He has breathed on his word. We've got to breathe it in, and we have to. I even heard somebody say one time, it's almost like we have to take it to the bedroom, and we have to conceive it in our hearts. Because once the word is conceived in our hearts, it will produce. Y'all are really quiet. So what we're doing is we are taking the word of God, and it becomes our personal word from God. Amen? I think we need to realize there's seed time and there's harvest time. There's a part that we play. We are not waiting on God. The word is waiting on us. And it is desiring a date night. And I just encourage you, and maybe at some point I'll teach on meditating the word, because I think this is the missing element that we have in our life with our busyness and our schedules and all that's going on. I think this is the very thing that we're missing out, is that we do all these good things, but meditating and taking the time to get the Word of God in our heart, tending our garden, cultivating our garden, and then we continue to water it, keep the weeds out, keep the thorns out, keep the rocks out, keep it plowed. Guys, I'm telling you, this word will produce. It's amazing. And once it gets going, it's like once it starts springing up, it's like, oh my gosh, it is the nature of the word. It is the nature of the word to fulfill his promises. It is an incorruptible seed. Isn't it awesome to know that God doesn't just take a promise and says, okay, I'll let her have this promise, but I don't think he deserves that. He gives them all to all of us. Now what we're learning to do, honestly, is to learn to be receivers of this word. So I just want to encourage you, begin to get a hunger. Begin to ask the Lord to begin to speak to you through his word, to highlight things for you to lay hold of and begin to meditate and ponder and murmur and think on. And I believe that we're going to begin to see a harvest. Amen. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you've given us hearts of flesh that are a wonderful garden. It is a garden, Father, that you desire to be planted in. And I'm asking for you to begin to plant seeds in each one of their lives. And Father, that you're going to begin to reveal to them the nature of your word. And Father, that I thank you that they're going to begin to see manifestations in their lives of seeing your word, an incorruptible seed, take on life, take on flesh, and become, Father, they get a revelation, not just understanding, but revelation that turns into manifestation in their lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Consume Church weekly podcast. This entire service and others can be viewed on our Facebook and YouTube channels. If you would like to partner with us in raising the next generation of kingdom bringers, you can do so at theconsumechurch.com/give.